Today's Shir is Masech Tzvach and Daf Samach Beis. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Samach Beis of an Aleph, the top line, Amar Rabbi Yosef. In our previous Shir, the Gemara had asked the question that we find that the Mizbech HaChitzin was larger in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni than it was in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. And the Gemara was trying to understand why is that so. And the Gemara had offered a number of answers. One of the answers actually was offered by Rabbi Yosef. But as Mefarshim explained, Rashi says, we know in many places in Shas that Rabbi Yosef unfortunately became ill and forgot some of his learning. And there were different situations that he remembered what he had forgotten. And the Gemara is teaching us that this is one such situation. And even though Rabbi Yosef in our previous year had said that the reason is because the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash Rishon had the fire, the Eish Ben HaShemayim, to help it consume all the Kabbanis that were put on it. We did not have that in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, and that's why we needed a larger Mizbeach. Now Rabbi Yosef says, Rav Yosef, Lav Hainu D'Tanya, the reason is based on what we said. The Pasuk says, V'yichinu HaMizbech HaMechan Yosef. The Pasuk in Ezra says that they prepared the Mizbech on all of the places we were supposed to be. Shigiyu L'Soif Midosef. That in the base of Midosh Sheni, that they realized that there was more room that could be used to build the base of Mikdash, and therefore they used that amount of room. Says the Gemara, how could that be that in the base of Mikdash Sheni they recognized that the Mizbech and the base of Mikdash could have been bigger? V'ksiv, doesn't the pasuk say Hakol b'ksav b'yad Hashem alai hiskel? The Dovid HaMelech got direct the description from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how the Mizbeach should look. So Rabbi Leib Malin asks a question, that Pasuk is speaking about the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. And David HaMelech was given the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. But here we're speaking about the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is not part of the Beis HaMikdash. So why is the Gemara asking this question? So Rabbi Leib Malin Zatzal answers the question by saying that there were actually the Mizbeach represents two different components. One component, he says, is represented that it's a Mizbeach where we bring the Kabbanis. But he says another part of it is to understand that the Mizbeach is part of the architecture of the Beis HaMikdash. And if David HaMelech was given that architecture, obviously he was also given the size of the Beis HaMikdash. Elam Rabbi Yosef, says Rabbi Yosef, it wasn't that they had a new nevuah by the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, what should be the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash, rather kra ashkech v'dorish, that they found a pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech had not necessarily interpreted correctly, and the way the Mefarshim explained this Gemara, when we have a nevuah is not debatable. And if there was a nevuah given to David HaMelech, then there can't be a different nevuah given later. But rather, they explained the way to understand this Gemara is that the dimensions of the Mizbeach were based on a pasuk. Since they were based on a pasuk, Shlomo HaMelech did not necessarily explain the pasuk properly, and they understood it differently. Because the pasuk of Yom David Zeh Beis Hashem Elokim, v'zeh Mizbeach L'Oil Yisrael, the Kiabayis, and they explain the Pasuk, Kiabayis, the Hechel, the Kodesh Kedoshim, Habay was Shishim Amma. The Pasuk says that the length of the Bayis HaMikdash was 60 Amma. Af L'mizbech Shish Amma. They figured that the same dimension of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mizbeach, should be of the Mizbeach. And the Beis HaMikdash, we know, was 60. So since they knew that this was 60, they assumed that the Mizbeach was 60. But that wasn't actually correct, because the Mizbeach was 62. And now, explained the Mefarshim, we no longer need to rely on the teretz that we said at the beginning of the shir, that in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon they had more of a fire that could consume more of the, that could consume the kabbanis quicker. Says the Gemara, Bishlama, we can understand that when they built the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, they were able, based the bias, they were able to understand how to build it, what were its dimensions, Minkarit Sarasa. They were able to see the outline, the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why they knew where the Beis HaMikdash was. But ask the Gemara, Ella Mizbeach Mino Yadi, how were they able to identify where's the Mizbeach? Because even though, says the Mashah, that there was a Yisoid, as we often discuss in our Shiurim, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Yisoid of the Mizbeach is not your typical foundation. A foundation typically is something that goes on the ground. This Yisoid was above ground. And since this Yisoid was above ground, how could they be able to identify the foundation? Amar Rav Elazar. So they said, says Rav Elazar, the way they were able to identify this was because they saw Mizbeach Bani. They saw in Shemaim that there was a Mizbeach built. And Michal brings Kabbanis on that. As the Gemara Mizbeach, as the Gemara Masechta Menachos, Daf Kuf Yod says, that even in the time of the Churban Abayis, Michal still is standing in Shemayim in the Beis HaMikdash and bringing Kabbanis. And therefore, they were able to see what they were able to identify which where the Mizbeach is supposed to be. There's a question, what is he being makriv? What is Michal being makriv on that Mizbeach? One opinion is he's being makriv the Nishmaseim Shal Tzadikim, the Neshamas of the Tzadikim, and another approach is that they have animals, as much as we can understand this, they have animals made out of fire, and that's what he's being makriv. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says what he's being makriv in the Mizbeach, Afish Yitzchak, Rosh Manach Mesamakim. The ash of the Akedah is on that spot. So, of course, all the Mefarshim asked the question that at the end of the day, Yitzchak was never burnt, as we know when we learn the Pasha of the Akedah. So, what does it mean that they see that they Afrish Yitzchak? So, Mefarshim explain that, of course, the Afrish Yitzchak doesn't exist. Rather, the way to understand what it means is that we know what the Pasuk teaches us when the Torah speaks about the Akedah. The Pasuk says that that there was an aisle that appeared, and instead of bringing Yitzchak, the aisle was brought. And as Avram Avinu was bringing in that aisle, Avram Avinu said that on everything that's happening to this aisle, in his mind, is what's supposed to be happening to Yitzchak. And that's why it's considered like the Afroi Shal Yitzchak is brought there. Another pshat that I saw is that a critical pshat that we need to understand in our approach to Avodas Hashem. In understanding our approach to Avodas Hashem, what is necessary to understand is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just look at what we actually do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the effort. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at that effort as if it was something that we actually did. And therefore, he says that, they explain, Avram Avinu, as we know, was ready to be put Yitzchak on the Akedah. So even though Yitzchak was not put on the Akedah, but the fact that Avram Avinu was ready to put Yitzchak on the Akedah, in Shemayim, where they look at things very differently than the way we look at things in this world, in Shemayim, they could be considered as if the Afrish Yitzchak is there, even though in this world, obviously, in this world, we don't have any real ash. But in Shemayim, it's considered as if there's ash. Shmuel ben Nachmani Yomar, the Kol HaBayis, Harichu Reich Tyrus. Wherever was the place of the Beis HaMikdash, they were able to smell the aroma of the Ktiris, because in the Beis HaMikdash, we know that they brought the Ktiris every day. And wherever was a spat, says the Gemara, was Beach, so we know on the Mizbeach, they brought the Avrim, the part of the animal, and therefore they were able to identify that that is the place of the that is the place of the Mizbeach. The Gemara said that how do we know the dimensions? The Gemara says Kro Ashkech V'Darish. They found a pasuk, and the Sefer Chashukei Chemed has here a most interesting question, and it's a question that people need to know, and that is, sometimes people have questions in their lives. They don't know what they should do or what they shouldn't do. And the question is, should they rely on opening a chumash, or many suggest if they get an aliyah, and in the aliyah, when they're called up to the Torah, there's a pasuk that indicates, gives them direction, what should be done. Is that something they can rely on? We're learning now the concept of Kro Ashkech V'Darish. And he speaks about a situation where there was an individual who was meeting a girl, and he wasn't sure if she should marry that girl or not. He had doubts, maybe yes, maybe not. And he says that he got an aliyah, and in the aliyah, they read, when he got the aliyah, and he says it was most interesting because he was a Yisrael, but he got an aliyah, a Parshas Ve'era, he got an aliyah of Sheni, which is usually the aliyah of a Levi, but since there was no Levi, he got that aliyah, and the pasuk read, V'yikacharen se'lisheva b'ani minodav, achos nashan loy lisha. And we know, Rashi says, why is it important for the pasuk to indicate that Elisheva was Nachshon's sister? Says Rashi, the Gemara Masechta Basra teaches us, "Mikalam adnu shanoise isha." If somebody marries a woman, tzarich livdik ba'cheha. One should investigate who are her brothers. In fact, Chida says the famous pasuk that we say Friday night, "Eishes chayil mi yimtza." He says the words, the first letters of the word "Eishes chayil mi yimtza" is achim. If you want to know who is the woman that you should marry? Achim. Look at her brothers, and that will help you make a determination whom you should marry. And therefore, his question was, is this not a proof that I should look into who are the brothers of this woman who I'm meeting? And he discovered that they're very good people, maybe that's an indication that this is the woman I should marry. And actually, the Ramah in Yoridei is Simen Kuf Ayin Tes, Sif Dalad. It says, Mutar Loim Latinuk, one can ask a child, Psoikli Psukacha. Again, similar situation where a person has a question, doesn't know what to do, meets a child and asks him, what pasuk did you learn today? Says the Shach, Mashma, Shadasa Rav, it seems that the opinion of the Ramah is, Shafilu Lasis Maisa, to completely rely on that is mutter. And it's considered like a nevuah. And there are other rayas that this is considered something to be relied on. The Chasam Sofer says, the pasuk says in Tehillim, Gam edusecha shashua shashui anche etzasi. Gam edusecha shashua anche etzasi. How am I able to know what to do, how am I able to know what to do? By looking into the pasuk. And Rav Cheskel Abramsky, he quotes, would say that if somebody gets an aliyah, it's a proof that Minas Shemayim, they want him to understand and study the chumash that was read to him when he got an aliyah, and he will discover questions that he is facing answered from that aliyah. And he says there that every time he got an aliyah, what he used to do was that after davening, he would sit down and review the parsha, the psukim of what he got the aliyah, and it would help him answer dilemmas that he was facing. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said that that's pshat Kra Ashkech V'Darash that we just learned in our Gemara. And the Kra Ashkech V'Darash means that when you have a question, Kra Ashkech, open up the Pasuk, Kra Ashkech V'Darash. And when you open up the Pasuk, you will discover that the Pasuk is helping you understand what the Pasuk is helping you to understand what to do. The Gemara said, the Pnei Menachem explains, that our Gemara said that in a place where there's the smell of Avrim, so we know that's where the Mizbeach was, where the smell of Ketores, that's where the Beis Hamikdash says. Says the Pnei Menachem that the way to understand this Gemara is that we are all made up of different organs, of different Avrim. And he says that according to the way we act, that's how we know if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is connected to us or not. And a person who acts appropriately, his Avrim do by themselves what they're supposed to do. And his Avrim, his behavior is an indication of whom he is. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Babachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosh Nevi'im, Olim Ma'amin HaGoyla, Chagei Zechariah Malachi came with them from the Golos to Yerushalayim when they built the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. Echad Shehei Lema Mizbeach, one was the one that was able to tell them where the Mizbeach was. Ve'echad Shehei Lehem, that it's 60 Amos. Ve'echad Shehei Lehem Amokim Mizbeach, one told them the dimensions of the Mizbeach. One told them where the spat of the Mizbeach was. Ve'echad Shehei Lehem Shemakrivan Alpi Shembayis. They were of the opinion that Kedush Rishon Kitch Lashata B'Kitch Lasad Lavoi, and since that Kedusha remains, therefore the halacha is they could still keep on bringing Kabbonis in that spot. So the Tferes Yisrael asks the question that we know that we're not allowed to rely on Nevuah to pass, in a Shaila. So how could over here they rely on this? So the Tferes Yisrael says that when we speak about the Beis HaMikdash, it's not the same as everything else. When we speak about the Beis HaMikdash, there we can accept what Nevi'im say. The Brick of Yosef gives a different teretz. He says that if we're relying on Nevuah, the halacha indeed is we can't rely on Nevuah when we speak about halacha. But here we're not relying on Nevuah. We're relying on Eidus. And since they're relying on Eidus, the halacha is that we could rely on the Eidus. And the reason that we Makriven Alpishem Bayis goes back to a concept that we discussed in our previous year, Kedusha Roshayna Kitchel, Shatva Kitchel Asalavai, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash remains even after the Churban. I saw that the Sefer Divrei Yisrael explains how do we understand this statement of Kedusha Roshayna Kitchel, Shatva Kitchel Asalavai. He explains that it speaks to each, every one of us as we train our children. Kedusha Roshayna, the way we are mechanech, the way we train our children from when they are young, Kitchel Shatva Kitchel Asalavai will remain with them forever. The Taisa says that here we learn that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash remains forever. But what about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael? Tosfos says that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael did not remain forever. And why is there, explain the Mefarshim in understanding Tosfos' explanation, that Kedusha of the Mikdash remains and the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael does not remain? So he explains that the Pasuk says regarding Yerushalayim, the Pasuk says, Shaloi Chayma. And the Pasuk means as long as it has a wall, at the beginning, it's still considered Batei Aruchayma forever. And the same thing, Yerushalayim, that is the Mechitzas, the wall of Yerushalayim, remains forever. Another explanation is because Yerushalayim is called a Nachla, a Yerusha. Nothing could interrupt a Yerusha. Another reason is that Yerushalayim, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, is something that remain, that is built on the Shechina. The Shechina can never become bottled. The Rambam also paskins like Tosfos. However, the Ravid disagrees, and he says it's difficult to understand how we could hold that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, which is so connected to the Beis HaMikdash, and now the Beis HaMikdash is not there, remains, versus the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, which should remain. Says the Gemara, but Masnis and Tana, in the Brisa, so we learned this in a different version. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Mishlosh Neviim, Oli Mom, and Agala. Again, three Neviim came up with Klal Yisrael from the Golas. Echad, Hail Hem and Mizbeach. They, one told them about the dimensions of the Mizbeach. Vamokoim HaMizbeach. And not only did he tell them about the dimensions, but he also told them exactly where the Mizbeach stood. Vechashemam Shemakrivim Al B'Shem Bayis. And the other one told them that you're allowed to bring Kabanas even though there is no Beis HaMikdash anymore. Vechashelem Al Torah Shetikase Beshurs. And this one told them that they changed the lettering of the Torah, and originally the Torah was written in Livno, that's one type of script, and then it was changed to a different type of script called Livno, which opens up a most interesting question. On the day that they switched, that the Nevi'im told them they should no longer write, that they should no longer write the Torah in Lashon, in the script of Livno, they should write it in Ashuris. Does that mean that all of the different Sforim, all the Torah, all the Stam, became possible at that moment? So some suggest two different pshatim. One pshat is that there was indeed no Ksav Ashuri until the time of Ezra, but they say that doesn't mean that the Sforim that were written before then became possible. But rather the way to understand is that anything that was written before them, before then, remained kosher. From now on, you have to use a shuri. Some say that indeed everything became possible. But then I saw there's a third opinion. There's an opinion that was, the Magrul Shayam discusses this opinion, and he suggests that till Ezra, they had two types of script, Luvno and Ashuris. And people had the choice to decide which ksav they wanted to use. From Ezra's time forward, the halacha became that you could use only ksav Ashuri. It's no longer, any other type of ksav is no longer acceptable. With this, many mefarshim explained, the Brisk Rav speaks about a famous medrash, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to receive the Torah, he found that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making tagin, was making the crowns on the Oseus in the Sefer Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand why, what they represented. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that there's going to be Rabbi Kiva, future generation, that's going to explain from every tag, from every crown, Tilei Tilem Shalachas. Many halachas. Amalafonov, so the Medrash continues, the Moshe Rabbeinu, hearing this, said to him, Yesh lecha adam kazeh, v'nais entire al yadi, if you have such a great Talmud Chacham, why are you choosing me to give the Torah? Amalashisak, and my Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, remain silent, kach ola machshava lefnei. That was what I decided. So the Brisk Rav says that what was pshat in the dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu found HaKadosh Baruch Hu writing a Sefer Torah b'Ksav Ashuris. And as we know, when a Sefer Torah is written b'Ksav Ashuris, there are crowns on the letters. Moshe Rabbeinu, however, had a Sefer Torah of Livno that doesn't have Tagim. And Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you giving the Sefer Torah in Livno that doesn't have these crowns, and we don't have the opportunity to learn all these ten halacha. And he asked, why are you waiting to change it to Ksav Ashuris in the time of Ezra, and then Rabbi Kiva will come after Ezra? Why don't you do it now? Why don't you already give it now? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's what I want. We've learned about the Nevi'im teaching them exactly where the Mizbeach was situated in the Beis HaMikdash. And this became a most significant issue. The Bi'alocha in Simukuf Nuntes says, that it's most important when building a shul to put the bima in the middle of the shul. Because just like the Mizbeach HaPnimi was in the middle of the shul, so too is the Halacha, and the Chasam Sofer is famous for being very makbar on this, that the Sefer Torah, that the bima should be right in the middle of the shul, and nowhere else should the bima be located. There's a tshuva from Rav Yosef Yabi Omer, if it makes sense to have the bima not directly in the middle of the shul, may you make it in a different place. But many of this opinion, using our Gemara, that the Gemara is teaching us that they knew exactly where the bima should be, so too the bima should be in the middle of the shul, particularly since the bima represents similarities that we had to the base Hamikdash. And some suggest that some were careful to be not to have too many steps going up to bima. In some shuls, the bima is a raised area, but they were careful not to have a very raised bima, because also very connected to halachas that we've been learning so often in our sugyas. We've been learning in our sugyas so extensively about the Yisoid HaMizbeach, but we know that the Yisoid HaMizbeach was only an amma tall. So if we want to build the bima, and as we just learned from the Bialok of Nechsam Sofer, that the bima should be similar to the Sefer Torah, to the bima, to the Mizbeach and the Beis Hamikdash. So just like the Mizbeach and the Beis Hamikdash only had a platform of an amma, the bima and the shul should also not be with steps that are more than an amma tall. The Gemara also speaks about Ksav Ashuris, as we just discussed, that they changed the lettering from Ksav Luvnok to Ksav Ashuris. And the Sefer Chashukei Chemed has a most interesting discussion. There are two different minhagim in how letters in Stam are written. There's Beis Yosef and Arizal. In Chassidish communities and Sfaradish communities, they write with Arizal. And in Yeshiva communities, they write with Beis Yosef. And he discusses a situation where there's a shul that was primarily reading from Sefer Torah that were Arizal Ksav, but now the membership of the shul changed, and most of the people who now daven in that shul are people who would like to read from Beis Yosef Sefer Torah. And there is a Beis Yosef Sefer Torah, but that Beis Yosef Sefer Torah, there's only one. So should they keep on reading every Shabbos or every time that they read Kriyas HaTorah from the Beis Yosef Sefer Torah? Or is that considered as if they are embarrassing the Arizal Sefer Torah that there's so many and are being ignored? He quotes Ashas HaTshuvas Marsham, Chel Gvav Simen Gimel. A similar question where in a shul there are a number of Sefer Torah, some are nicer, and some are not as nice. And the people in the shul want to keep on reading from the Sefer Torah, which is nicer. And he suggests that that's inappropriate. He says that that's a bazillion to the Sefer Torah, that there's Sefer Torah in the Oren that are just being ignored. And therefore, the Chashukei Chemed says, in our situation as well, even though the people in the shul would much rather read from the Beis Yosef Sefer Torah, but by constantly reading from the Beis Yosef Sefer Torah, what we are doing is that we're embarrassing all the other Sefer Torah. And he says there's some system must be developed that the Sefer Torah should be used. The Gemara says that Shemati Shemakrivim Af Pishem Bais, that we can still bring Kabonis even though there's no Bais. So the Pasha Pshat is that you can bring a carbon even though there is no Beis Hamikdash standing, but it's a very complicated, difficult, halachic discussion. But I saw that the Sefer Dash Shaga says that the way to understand this Gemara is very differently. Shemati Shemakrivim Shem Bayis, that just like we know that Avram Avinu brought Yitzchak as a carbon, even though it wasn't really a Beis Hamikdash. Every one of us Shemati, Shemakrivin AFP Shem Bayis. We all, even in a world where there is no Beis HaMikdash, have the ability of becoming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in a case where, even when we unfortunately don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we still should be able to develop systems of becoming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even without a Beis HaMikdash. Tanna Rabbanan begins the Gemara Karen, the corners of the base of the Mizbech that we've spoken about so much, the Kevesh, the ramp, the Yisoy that we just mentioned, for Ribua, the fact that the Mizbech has to be a square, Ma'akfin. All of these halachas are essential, and without them, the Mizbech is possible. However, Midas Arka, Midas Rachvay, the length, the width, Midas Kamasoy, the height, a Ma'akfin. And the halacha will be that if we didn't follow the exact dimensions that are stated, the Mizbech will still be kosher. Ask the Gemara anonymously, where do we know this halacha from? Answers the Gemara Amar Afuna Amar Krob. The pas, wherever the Torah says Hamizbeach, wherever the Torah used the word Hamizbeach, wherever the halacha is that the way all these things that we just mentioned, all the halachas that we said are essential, the Torah uses the word Hamizbeach. The Kol Makom Shenem Hamizbeach, and now he teaches us wherever the Torah uses the word Hamizbeach, it means La'akiv that this halacha must be. Ask the Gemara Elam Atob, if you say that if the Torah uses the word Hamizbeach, it means La'akiv. So according to Rabbi Soiviv, the Soiviv which is on the side of the Mizbeach, right about above the mitzvah of the Mizbeach, that they had this decoration. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the Ma'akiv, so the halacha is, according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, that's what the soiviv is, so that should be essential, the ksiv, because the pasuk in describing it says, "V'asisu mikbar masin reshes nechayshes v'nasata isatachs karkov hamizbeach lamata." The Tanya and the Bryce explains, "Ezu karkov." What does the karkov mean? Rabbi Oymikia, it means some sort of decoration, and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda means that soiviv that are like a meshwork around the mizbeach. If it says hamizbeach, shouldn't this mean that it's absolutely essential? Answers Gemara in, absolutely. The Tanya, in fact, he says there was a story where Tzadiki was pouring water on Chag and Sukkos on his feet. Meaning, we know that we learn, as the Gemara Masechta Sukkos teaches us, that the halacha is that on Sukkos we pour mayim on the Mizbeach, and it's learned from extra mem, yud, mem in the Torah. The Tzadikim did not agree with that Rasha. And there was a Kohen who was a Tzadiki, and what he did was he poured the water on his legs. And says the Gemara, the people who were there were upset, and the Gemara Masechta the Sukkah says, V'ragmu b'esrigayim, they threw their esrigim at him. Many Mefarshim say it wasn't only esrigim, it was also stones, and in protest. And the Gemara says, that day the corner on the Mizbeach fell off, and I saw the Mefarshim, the Sfas Emma says, it wasn't just that it got damaged, it completely fell off. And what they did was, Vevi Bel Shemelech, they brought a clump of salt for Sesmua. It's not because that's acceptable. A Shiurah Mizbeach Pogam, it was embarrassing that Mizbeach had this missing thing. To which the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yosi Omer Afa Soiviv. And I saw, and Rashi explains, according to Rabbi Yosi Yehuda, it's the Soiviv that the Pasuk means, and therefore the Soiviv is essential. And according to Rabbi, it's the Karkov, and therefore according to Rabbi, the Karkov would be essential. So it says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, and the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Ezu Karkov. What exactly is the Karkov? So Gemara says, the amount of place it takes to walk between one corner to another corner, the Kahanim walk there. Ask the Gemara, is that understandable? How can we suggest, ask the Gemara, that the Kahanim walked between the corners? Because what are they going to do when they get to the corner? They're not going to have a place to continue walking. Ella Ema, Makam Hilch Ragli Kahanim, Amma. We had the corners, and there was and that space is an amma. But a Jew adjacent to that space was another amma, which was the area on which Kohanim would walk, says the Gemara V'Ksiv. But as the Gemara, the Braisa says that the Karkov was on the surface, on the roof of the Mizbeach. But as the Gemara, how can we say that that's where the Karkov was? Says the Gemara, V'Ksiv Yas the Mizbeach, Michper, Mas Reshes, Nechoshet, Takas, Karkovoy, Mamata, Achetzkyoy. So isn't this indicative that the Karkov was not on the top of the Mizbeach, but rather the Karkov was on the, asked the Gemara, this is a proof that the Karkov was on the side of the Mizbeach. How do we understand this Gemara? Omar Rav, Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Treyhava. Says the Gemara, there were two Karkovs. Chad was indeed made as some sort of something that stuck out on the side of the Mizbeach. And the one that stuck out on the side of the Mizbeach was Lanoi, was there for decoration. The Chad, and the other one was the Kohanim, was a place where the Kohanim could walk, the Loi Nistarku. They built it on the Mizbeach in a place that they should walk along the Mizbeach and not slip, Chas HaShalom. Says the Gemara, the Midas Arkoi, we learned in the Brice that we quoted a few moments ago, Midas Arkoi, the length of the Mizbeach, Midas Rakpoi in the width, Midas Kamasa in its height, Ein Me'akfim, are not absolutely essential. Omer Rabmani, when we said this halacha, however, Mevach Shlo Yifchaseno, you shouldn't make a Mizbeach any smaller. Mizbeach Shasa Moshe, we discussed in our previous year the size of the Migdash, Beis Migdash of Moshe, the Mizbeach of Moshe. We may never construct a Mizbeach that is any smaller. The Kama, says the Gemara, what were the dimensions of the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu made? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amma. It was a square Amma. Says the Gemara, B'chakola, how could you suggest, asked the Gemara, that they made a Mizbeach that was an Amma? Doesn't the Pasuk say, regarding Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, V'sisas Mizbeach, Atzei Shittim, Chamish Amas Orech, V'chamish Amas Roichev, Revu Yeh Mizbeach. So the Torah is very clear that it was five Amas. Amalei Baya. So Baya explains, Dilma Yes, the Mizbeach was five Amas, but when he says that they made it only one Amma, it's referring to the place where there was fire. The spat on the fire was only an Amma. Because if you take off, as we just said, an Amma, which is the space between the Kronos, and then there's another Amma adjacent to it where the Kohanim walked, so we'll take off two Ammas in each direction. For that, we're going to be left with one Amma in the middle. Amalei, so Rav Yosef said to Baya, Mad the Gav Rabba, he says, you are a great Talmud Chacham, Yodah my Kamina, you are able to understand what I meant. And Kar Elayu, and Rav Yosef said regarding those that didn't understand what he said, B'nei Keturah. You're B'nei Avram Avinu, but you're like the B'nei Keturah. B'nei Keturah, we know, are the children of Hagar, the wife of Avram, and the Pasuk speaks about them in a derogatory fashion. You haven't reached the level of really being worthy to be called the children of Avram Avinu. And the Gemara tells us a story that's similar to this. It says the Gemara, B'nai Achsed Rav Tarfin, the nephews of Rav Tarfin, Havayasvi Kameh Rav Tarfin, were once sitting in front of Rav Tarfin, and they were sitting there silently. Pasach Vama, so Rav Tarfin wanted to wake them up. So he said, he quoted a Pasach. He says, V'yosef Avram v'yikach isha shema yoichni. That he read the Pasach as if Avram Avinu's new wife was yoichni. Amalei, so they immediately reacted and they said, that's not what the Pasach says. The Pasach says, v'yikach isha shema keturah ksev. Karalayu b'nei keturah. Now, I'm going to consider you like the B'nai Keturah. And of course, many Mefarashim try to understand what's pshat in this Maimer Chazal. So Rav Meir Shapiro Zatzal, in a Sefer Imri Das, explains as follows. He says that the Medrash, on the word keturah explains shemaseh noam kekhtiris, that what she did was as pleasant as the keturah is. On the other hand, there's another medrash that says the keturah represents that she offered keturah to the avodah zarah. So how do we reconcile these two medrashim? So he explains that what she used to do, that in front of people, she appeared like she was a tzaddikus. But really, she was not a tzaddikus, and she brought keturah for avodah zarah. And he quotes a Gemara in Masechta Sota that says, Hei isha ushma yoichni bas retiva. There was a woman whose name was Yoichni, vayis machshefa, and she was a machshefa. But she was also, says the Gemara, a tzvua, what we would call a phony. In front of people, she looked like a tzaddikus, but she was really a machshefa. And that's what Reb Tarfon said to them, ushma yoichni, that she was like Yoichni, that keturah was like Yoichni, she really wasn't great. So the people said to him, to Talmid, his nephew said to him, wasn't her name Tyrus? So why are you saying that she was not a good person? Why are you saying that she wasn't a good person? Why don't you say she was a good person? That's why Reb Tarfon said, look at B'nai Keturah. Look at her children. If you want to be able to determine who is a person, the way you could determine who is a person is by looking at their children. So there's two conflicting medrashim. And he said to them, the medrash that we should follow is the medrash that says that she wasn't such a great person because B'nai Keturah look at who her children were. Another pshat that I saw from the B'nai Menachem, the medrash says, Rabbi Kiva Yosh V'Dorish. Rabbi Kiva was giving a shir, but Saber Misnamnim, and the people in the audience were falling asleep. Bikish La'aron, and he wanted to wake them up. And he said, Ma Rasa Esther, She Timloch Ashiva V'Esra Me'im Medina. How did Esther become the queen over 127 countries? El Tava Esther, She Basbita Shel Sarah. Let Esther come, who was the descendant of Sarah, that Shechoysa Kuf Chav Zayin, lived 127 years, but Timloch al Kuf Chav Zayin Medina, so that's why she became the queen over 127 countries. So the question the Pnei Menachem asks is, how by saying this Maimer Chazal did he wake them up? So he explains, the Chedush Yerim says, what Rabbi Kiva meant to say was that every year of Esther's life helped Esther be the queen of another country. So what we see from here is the value of every moment of life. What every moment of life, what could be accomplished with every moment of life. And Rabbi Tarfon saw his nephew sitting there and not reacting when they're learning, he saw that they were wasting time. They were losing out of the very precious moments of life. And he said, don't be B'nai Keturah. Don't be like the children of Keturah that nothing amounted from them. Be great and take advantage of every moment of life to accomplish something with it. Amar Abaye Bar Huna, Amar Chama Bar Gurya. Gzirim Sha'asa Moshe. The pieces of wood, the beams of wood that Moshe Rabbeinu put on the Mizbeach when he built the Mishkan. Arkan Amma were Amma long. V'rokvan Amma were Amma wide. And their height was the size of a vest, of a equipment that they used to use, that when they had a basket or a barrel full of produce to smooth out the top. Amar B'yimiyah, Ba'ama Geduma. The Amma that they used, the way I saw the Mefarshim explained, that we often know, there's a question, what is the size of a tefach? Is it 5 tefachim, is it 6 tefachim? And the Gemara is saying they use the shortest measurement to measure this Amma. Amma Geduma. Amma Rav Yosef, V'lav Hanan Tanya. Is this not what we learned? The Pasuk says, V'aruch B'nei Aaron Kohanim HaNesachim HaSaroish V'sapadim El Eitzim HaShal Eish HaShal Mizbeach. What is the Pasuk trying to teach us? That we should have the wood arranged on the Mizbeach in a way that nothing from the Eitzim should protrude outside of the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah Masech the Midas tells us, Kevish, Hayolai Dreimish Mizbeach, as we often discuss, there was a ramp on the south side of Mizbeach, Oirich Shloish Mishtayim, it was 32 Amah long, Al Roich of Shesh Esri, by the width of 16 Amah. Ask the Gemara anonymously, where do we notice halacha from? Says the Gemara, Amar Afuna Makra, the Pasuk says regarding bringing kachim the carbon oila, the shachrei saw yerech mizbeach tsoina, that we should shech the carbon on the yerech mizbeach. What does that mean? She yereach, the leg should be in the tzofen, upanov, like a person laying on the ground, that his feet are towards the north and his face is towards the south. But ask the Gemara, who said, that's how we know that the feet, which is the kevis, was in the north facing south. But ask the Gemara, maybe the way to understand it, don't understand the pasuk as if we're talking about a person who's laying, and which direction is his head, and which direction are his feet, but rather, maybe understand the pasuk, Ema yirech betzofen or pana betzofen, he's sitting. Amarava, Rama gavri ape. We should speak about the pasuk as if the person is laying down. Amalei Abayit, which Abayit says, what forces you to explain the pasuk that we should understand it as if it's a person who's laying? Adraba, Tritz v'soif gavra. Maybe we should explain the pasuk that he's sinning. Amalei, the pasuk says, revua ksiv. And the word revua, says the Gemara, is similar to the word roivitz. Roivitz means laying flat. Says the Gemara, how could we say that that's what we learn from the pasuk, from the word revua? But ask the Gemara, v'ham b'ilei, the marv revui. Don't we need that pasuk to teach us that the mizbech was a square? Answers the Gemara, miksiv meruba. Does the pasuk say meruba? Says the Gemara, and therefore it's not here to teach us that it was a square. So he asks, tamech miksiv rovitz. If the Torah would have said rovitz, so it means laying. But nowhere does the Torah use the word rovitz. The Torah uses the word revua. Amalei, he said, revua ksiv. If all the Torah meant to say is that it was a square, it should have said meruba. The fact that the Torah uses the word revua, mashmahachi and mashmachi, to teach us two halachas. One halacha is that the mizbeach should be a square, and the other is to view it as a person who's laying. Says the Gemara, Tana Maislam Hakam. This Tana learns the halacha that the ramp was on the south from the following pasuk. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the pasuk says regarding the Mizbeach, a pasuk in Yecheskel, which we've been saying that often do we learn that that pasuk is here to teach us that the dimensions of the Beis Hamikdash, the Shlishi of the Mizbeach, the Tanya of Yehuda Omer, the Pasuk says regarding the Mizbeach, Umaloisov Pnois Kadim, Shekol Pinashat, the point of Leah El Derech Yemen Lemizrach, that the Halacha tells us that whenever we walk up the Mizbeach, we should make a right turn, which will take us in the Mizrach, in the east direction. How will that be possible if the Kevesh, if the ramp that we walk up is on the south side? If you walk up on the south side and you'll make a right turn, you're walking towards the east. Vema asked the Gemara, maybe what the Torah means to say is, walk up the Mizbeach and make a left turn and you'll be on the Mizrach side. Says the Gemara, Lo Sakadatach. That doesn't seem to be correct. The Tani Rami by Yecheskel, Yam Shasa Shlomo. Shlomo Melech made a yam in the Beis HaMikdash and it was like a pool. And the way to understand the pasuk describes it, Oymal Shnei Os Bakar, it was like on 12 animals, copper animals, Shloshim Panim Tzvayna, 3 in the north side, facing north, Shloshim Panim Yama, 3 to the west, Shloshim Panim Negba, 3 to the east, Shloshim Panim Mizracha, 3 to the east. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says Kodim. What is the pasuk mean to teach with that word? That whenever we make a turn, we should make a right turn, taking us in the Mizrach direction. Ask the Gemara, but how can we say that pasuk is coming to teach us that halacha? Ask the Gemara, don't we need that pasuk? To teach us the basic halacha, the basic reality, how that yam stood? Says the Gemara, im kain, if that's all what the pasuk said, painim, painim, why did Torah have to keep on repeating the word painim, painim? Why is the Torah teaching us that word over and over again? To teach us the halacha that it should be El Yamin. The Sefer Zakan Aharon says that the Gemara in Masechta Brachos, Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, teaches us, Ezo Parsha Ketana, we have a small parsha in the Torah, should call our Torah Talabai, that is really what the Torah is all about. The Pasuk, Obechol Durchecha De'eyo, Vehu Yashar Chasecha. He says, furthermore, we learn in Pirkei Avos, that everything we do, our eating, our drinking, everything should be done l'shem shemayim. Everything should be done in an effort of avodas Hashem. Furthermore, he says, the pasuk says, "Oirach yamim mimina v'smayla oishiv v'chavid." And Chazal teaches the Masech to Shabbos that pay ches on the base l'minim ba. People who are go to the right have oirach yamim. They have oilam haba. People who learn Torah l'shem shemayim will have oilam haba. Or masmilim ba. People that learn Shloi L'shma will have only Oish V'chavit. So the right way to do anything that we do should be Liyamin. That a person, whatever he's doing, that Gemara and that and our Pasuk is teaching us that you always have to have in mind that you want to do L'shem Shemayim, not for any other purpose. And that's what the Pasuk says, Kol Pinashat Apoina. Whenever you do anything in life, you should be derech yamin. As the pasuk says, l'maminim ba, you should live life with everything that you do should be l'shem shemayim. And if you will live life that way, you will be zoich tarech yamim, tarechus yamim. But I saw that the Mefarshim explained that not only will you have a rechus yamim, you will also have oishiv v'chavid. Somebody who lives his life l'shem shemayim will be zoich to all the brachas in the Torah.